Deuteronomy 18 through 20. The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall not have a portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire, and his property. They shall not have an inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. Now this shall be the priest's portion from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, either an ox or a sheep. They shall give the priest the shoulder, the two cheeks, and the stomach. You shall give him the first fruits of your grain, your new wine, and your oil, and the first fleece of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen him and his sons from all your tribes to stand to serve in the name of the Lord always. Now, if a Levite comes from any of your towns throughout Israel where he resides, and he comes whenever he desires to the place which the Lord chooses, then he shall serve in the name of the Lord his God, like all his fellow Levites who stand there before the Lord. He shall eat equal portions, except for what they receive from the sale of their father's estates. When you enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who consults the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things the Lord your God is going to drive them out before you. You are to be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are going to dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. To him you shall listen. This is in accordance with everything that you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, "Do not let me hear the voice of the Lord my God again, and do not let me see this great fire any more, or I will die." And the Lord said to me, "They have spoken well. I will raise up for them a prophet from among their countrymen, like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them everything that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever does not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, a word which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How will we recognize the word which the Lord has not spoken?' when the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing does not happen or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You are not to be afraid of him. When the Lord your God cuts off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and settle in their cities and in their houses, you shall set aside for yourself three cities in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare the roads for yourself, and divide into three regions the territory of your land which the Lord your God will give you as an inheritance, so that anyone who commits manslaughter may flee there. Now this is the case of the one who commits manslaughter, who may flee there and live. When he kills his friend unintentionally, not hating him previously, as when a person goes into the forest with his friend to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down the tree, and the iron head slips off the handle and strikes his friend so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities. Otherwise, the avenger of blood might pursue him in the heat of his anger, and overtake him because the way is long, and take his life, though he was not sentenced to death since he had not hated him previously. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall set aside for yourself 3 cities. And if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, just as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land that he promised to give your fathers, if you carefully follow all of this commandment which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God, and walk in his ways always, then you shall add 3 more cities for yourself, besides these 3. So innocent blood will not be shed in the midst of your land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and guilt for bloodshed will not be on you. But if there is a person who hates his neighbor, and waits in ambush for him, and rises up against him, and strikes him so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send men and take him from there, and hand him over to the avenger of blood, so that he may die. You shall not pity him, but you shall eliminate the guilt for the bloodshed of the innocent from Israel, so that it may go well for you. You shall not displace your neighbor's boundary marker, which the ancestors have set, in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. A single witness shall not rise up against a person regarding any wrongdoing or any sin that he commits. On the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. If a malicious witness rises up against a person to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both people who have the dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who will be in office in those days, and the judges shall investigate thoroughly. And if the witness is a false witness, and he has testified against his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he had planned to do to his brother. You shall eliminate the evil from among you, and the rest of the people will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you. So you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses, chariots, and people more numerous than you do, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic, or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who is going with you, to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." The officers also shall speak to the people, saying, "Who is the man that has built a new house, but has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house. Otherwise he might die in the battle, and another man would dedicate it. And who is the man that has planted a vineyard, but has not put it to use? Let him go and return to his house. Otherwise he might die in the battle, and another man would put it to use. And who is the man that is betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house. Otherwise he might die in the battle, and another man would marry her." Then the officers shall speak further to the people and say, "Who is the man that is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, so that he does not make his brothers' hearts melt like his heart." And when the officers have finished speaking to the people, they shall appoint commanders of armies at the head of the people. When you approach a city to fight against it, you shall offer it terms of peace, and if it agrees to make peace with you and opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall become your forced labor and serve you, However, if it does not make peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. When the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall strike all the men in it with the edge of the sword. However, the women, the children, the animals, and everything that is in the city, all of its spoils, you shall take as plunder for yourself. And you shall use the spoils of your enemies which the Lord your God has given you. This is what you shall do to all the cities that are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations nearby. Only in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave anything that breathes alive. Instead, you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that they will not teach you to do all the same detestable practices of theirs which they have done for their gods, by which you would sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time, to make war against it in order to capture it, you shall not destroy its trees by swinging an axe against them, for you may eat from them. So you shall not cut them down. For is the tree of the field a human, that it should be besieged by you? Only the trees that you know are not fruit trees you shall destroy and cut down, so that you may construct siege works against the city that is making war against you until it fails. John 21. After these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, who was called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are also coming with you." They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish to eat, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find the fish." So they cast it, and then they were not able to haul it in, because of the great quantity of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already made, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." So Simon Peter went up and hauled the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to inquire of him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread, and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, after he was raised from the dead. Now, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, Shepherd, my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt, because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to put on your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will put your belt on you and bring you where you do not want to go. Now he said this by indicating what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he said this, he said to him, Follow me. Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, and the one who also had leaned back on his chest at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who is betraying you? So Peter, upon seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Therefore, this account went out among the brothers, that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is testifying about these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written in detail, I expect that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one new person, in this way establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Proverbs 31:25-31. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Psalm 73. God is certainly good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their belly is fat. They are not in trouble like other people, nor are they tormented together with the rest of mankind. Therefore, arrogance is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart overflow. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and abundant waters are drunk by them. They say, "How does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High?" Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my pure heart, and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long, and punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak this way," behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I thought of understanding this, it was troublesome in my sight, until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. You indeed put them on slippery ground. You dropped them into ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment! They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors, like a dream when one awakes. Lord, when stirred, you will despise their image. When my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, then I was stupid and ignorant. I was like an animal before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. You will guide me with your plan, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And with you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is good for me. I have made the Lord my God my refuge, so that I may tell of all your works.